Well, there's nothing like reading a dictionary, and this section really could turn into that. But it is one of those tools and techniques that's more aimed at helping you speak the language of reliability engineering, which comes then with a lot of the benefits and understanding of using those terms in meaningful discussions. But more importantly, the set of reliability terms and technology that in terminology that's in this section provide a way for you to find these definitions quickly. And so it's the part of the program where it's really just teaching the test and how do you come to a way to find and use these terms quickly. Well, we're all familiar with glossaries or dictionaries. And so what we've done is pulled these definitions and reworded some of them and made them more up to date where it made sense and put them together into one document. Now, that document is available for you. And it's a study aid. It's to help you find and understand the terms that you run across and you're not quite sure of. And so that's a good study practice, is to look up the words and concepts that you're not familiar with as you go. But it also is something you can use during the exam. Is print it out, put it on your desktop with you as a reference, and make it your go-to document when you need to find the finer points of a definition of a word or a concept. And so one of the things to keep in mind, though, is that many of the terms that are in the glossary and in common use have originally come from a military background. The MIL handbook, or I'm sorry, MIL standard 721C was at one time, and still considered, the dictionary of reliability and maintenance terms in the language we use. Yet the medical industry and other industries have slightly different terms for exactly the same activities. So when in doubt, ask within your industry, what is it you mean by that? Now for the exam, go with the most generic understanding as you can. And that's what we tried to put into the glossary here. Well, let me give you an example. In the medical industry, when we were creating a procedure for a test, they kept referencing it as a protocol. And I finally asked, what do they mean? And one of the people had come from a high-tech industry and says, oh, just the test plan. You know, it's the procedure that we're writing, and we just call it a protocol. It comes from the medical industry. And that was just one instance where different industries will have different languages. And so no one dictionary is going to capture all of the languages or all of the nuances of each individual industry. And as you know, even within your company, you may have slightly different understandings of terms and that are in common use. So keep a guard out that you're not interpreting the questions within the exam in the use of terms that are sliced just to your industry. Keep in mind that these questions are almost always written to be generic, agnostic when it comes to what background or industry it comes from. Now, there's quite a long list of terms, and it's worth perusing those and making sure that your understanding of those terms is consistent with the way it's defined in the references that you're using. And once again, make your own glossary. Print this one out, the one that's provided with the course out, and add terms as you see fit so that you have a ready reference that is useful for you. So just one term, and this is one that I am going to ask you to provide a comment on. Well, what is a failure? And it can be all kinds of different things. And this is one we're going to struggle with as reliability professionals all the time. Because in some respect, a failure is it doesn't meet specifications, or it doesn't meet the requirements, or it fails, the function doesn't perform either at all or as expected. And Yet some of our failures are intermittent. So if it only happens 1 in 1,000 times, we may not be able to reasonably reproduce that. So was it really a failure? We have just their word for it that it didn't behave correctly at the moment. But there's also softer failures. There's failures where it's not in the hardware. It's just the wrong color, or it's the wrong size, or it's not what they expected. So the product failed to deliver an unspecified requirement from the customer's imagination. So are those still failures? Well, in one regard, if the customer calls your call center or returns the product or doesn't buy your products anymore or actively dissuades other people from buying your products, you've incurred a cost because of that failure. Now, many times we get involved with what we call hard failures, where something is physically broken. So say a capacitor exploded off the board. Exploded might be too harsh of a term. Let's say it popped off the board, or a solder joint fractured, or a connector backed out. And we can do failure analysis on that and do the forensic science kind of operations to find out what exactly was the failure mechanism. What was the chemistry physics of what was really going on? But those softer ones involve more the human dynamic of what marketing and sales typically are involved with. So if it's a product return and we can't find anything physically wrong with a product, is it still a failure? So kind of depends on how you define what is reliability. So here's a piece of homework for you if you choose to take it on, is find an advertisement or a poster or a banner or something that uses the word reliability or reliable. And how are they using that term? Is that the same as what we use in this course and in our day-to-day work? Is it specified or implied that it has a specific function over some duration with some probability of success within an environment? Are those four elements present? Or are they using reliability with some other kind of definition? And then what is that? How are they using it? And as you go through this exercise and become attuned to how people use the word reliable or reliability, is keep in mind that most people don't use the definition we do. And so when we're talking to other folks, whether suppliers or engineers in our own team, and we're talking about reliability, it's probably worth checking which definition everybody is using and at least be consistent in how you use it. So it's an interesting exercise. I've asked many students in the past this to find an advertisement and explain how they're using it. But it puts you in tune with what more generic or what's more commonly used with these terms than what we do all the time. And hopefully it helps you avoid the trap of running into misunderstanding of how people use these terms. And this doesn't apply just to reliability. Availability, maintainability, MTBF, failure, all of those can be very, very specific. And unless it's a common specific understanding, we're really not communicating very well. In the next section, we'll take a look at some of the elements that make up a reliability program. And it's the basic structure for the types of activities that we're going to be employing in our day-to-day work.